Hello, everyone. This is Nan Walden again. Your response to our recent question and answer program encourages us to continue trying to give you Bible answers to the problems of our listeners. Mr. John Walden, Sr. is here to help you today. The answers he gives may bring further questions to your mind, so please just drop us a card in care of the station to which you're listening and wait patiently until Mr. Walden can get to your question. If you prefer that your question be answered privately, enclose a self-addressed envelope and your problem will be held in strict confidence. Now, Mr. Walden, the first question is, what kind of a feeling will I have to tell me that I am a Christian?
Well, I'm afraid I can't answer that just exactly as it was asked, because you will not have a feeling that can dependably tell you that you are a Christian. Now, of course, our feelings enter into everything that we do. We are happy about some things, and we are sad about some things. But the facts are not determined by how we feel. We have to know the facts, and that affects our feelings. In the third chapter of John, the Lord Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, how would I know that I have everlasting life, that I shall never perish, except that I have put my trust in him, and his word says that I have eternal life? Then he goes on to say in verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." Now, I couldn't feel condemned or feel not condemned. The only way I know that I'm a sinner is because the Bible tells me so. Well, of course, I have other evidence, but I mean, that's how I know that I am condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then the closing verse of that chapter says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Now, who says that I have everlasting life? Well, of course, God says it, and we believe his word. The passage that has helped more people, perhaps, than any other, is the one in 1 John. That's not St. John, but the epistle. 1 John chapter 5. And he tells us, "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Notice he doesn't say that you may feel like you have. I don't know that I own a car because I feel like it. I know it because I have a title. I don't know that I'm married because I feel like it. We have a document that proves that we're married. And I don't know that I am saved, that I have eternal life, that I am a Christian, simply by how I feel. But I know it because the Word of God says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God."
Then our feelings just don't have a thing to do with our salvation. It's just
well, they're a byproduct, certainly not any proof.
Yes. Here's another related question to confidence in the Bible. Is the Bible all the authority we need for salvation and Christian living?
Well, I believe that it is. Now, there are those who tell us that the Bible is not enough, that we must have church tradition, or that we must have more recent revelations, but I believe that the Bible is enough. The Apostle Paul tells us in the Epistle to the Colossians that he had a special job given to him, that it was his responsibility to complete the Scriptures. That's the Revised Version. And we believe that the Lord gave us everything that we need in the Bible, not only to tell us we're saved, but as this question implies, for Christian living as well. I would go further than this and say that the Bible is as up-to-date now as it was in the first century. I don't believe that anything can arise, any problem, in the life of a Christian, or in the affairs of a local church. I don't believe that anything can arise that is not covered by the Word of God, at least in principle. There may not be direct commands, but I believe that the Word of God gives us all that we need. Now, just a word of caution here. We have to know how to rightly divide the Word of Truth. And this, of course, comes by experience and association with the Lord. The closer we keep to Him, the more His Holy Spirit can teach us. And we need to learn to rightly divide the Word of Truth. There are some who turn to Old Testament passages, for instance, for guidance for the church. And yet the Lord plainly tells us that the church did not begin until the day of Pentecost. Our Savior said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He had not yet done so when Matthew's gospel was given. And in the second chapter of the Acts, you find the Holy Spirit coming down. And according to 1 Corinthians 12, by one Spirit are we all believers, baptized into one body. So the one body began with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And according to Ephesians chapter 1, Christians are now welded together, put together, builded together in one body, in one temple, as a habitation for God through the Spirit. So you have to know where to turn in the Scriptures to get answers to these various problems. But I do believe that the answer is yes. The Bible is all the authority we need for salvation and for Christian living.
Perhaps you'd like to take this one also, Mr. Walden. It says, "I seem to have trouble deciding which church I should join. How can I tell?"
Well, I suppose somebody's going to get offended at me now for what I have to say about this. They're going to wonder why I didn't say that their church was the right one to join. Well, I have just said that according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that all believers are put together, baptized by the Spirit, into one body. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 12 and 13. And then a little later in this same chapter, he says that God has put them in the body as it has pleased Him. So according to this, I believe that God puts us into the one body, which is known as the church, the body of Christ. Now, if God put me into the one body, obviously I do not need to join that body. If I join anything, I must be joining something beside the body of Christ. Actually, the Bible doesn't say anything about joining. There just isn't anything there. It does say that in the beginning, all who believed were together. You find in the second chapter of the Acts that quite a few were saved, about 3,000. By the time you come to the fifth chapter of the same book, you find that the number had increased to 5,000. And he says, of the rest, durst no man join himself to them. In those days, people didn't try to join the Christians. They seemed to realize that in order to become a Christian, you had to be a true believer in the Lord Jesus. You had to really accept Him as your Savior. But you see, with the modern system of joining an organization has come a great many other evils, because it's possible for an unconverted person to join as well as for a Christian. And in the Epistle to the Corinthians, he plainly says that believers and unbelievers should not be yoked together. So I should not feel happy about joining something where there was that liability of being linked together with unbelievers. Now, it says plainly that all they who believed were together and had all things common. So if you, as a Christian, really want to please the Lord, let me suggest that the way for you is not to find the church to join, But to find a company of God's people who are trying to go by the simple teaching of the Word of God, and it is fellowship that you need and not membership. There is a difference, you know, because joining an organization sometimes can be a real hindrance, a real handicap. A person can feel, well, I'm all right, I'm on my way to heaven because I have joined a church. Whereas the Lord wants you to be sure that you are joined to Christ, born into God's family. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you're really concerned about this, let me suggest that you take your Bible and carefully read through the Acts, see how the Christians met together there, then carefully read through 1 Corinthians and see the order that the Lord laid down there. And I think you'll find that we have departed a good way from the simple teaching originally was intended simply to bind all believers together and not to make a worldwide organization.
Thank you, Mr. Walden. I'm sorry, but our time has slipped away again.